Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. This is Marcia coming to you on the Hour for Power, the Hour of Power show. Yes, 13 minutes. Well, what can I say? You're going to need more than that to pull yourself together after you hear what thus saith the Lord. You know, today's show is going to be an eye-opener, but you know our routine. We're going to bow with a word of prayer. You know, some people stop praying. Some have said, oh, I don't care about prayer. I prayed and nothing happens. I don't see anything that happens. I don't feel anything. My prayer is never answered. But today, this day, under the sound of my voice, you're going to hear the reason why prayer is still in vogue and why God, the hearer of prayer, expects to hear from you. Heavenly Father, your spirit resides in us, but we come to you all the way to heaven by way of our heart and our thought and our voice to say thank you. You didn't have to touch us this morning. Some might be upset that you did. But you didn't have to. But we come to you now to say, hey, thank you, God. To say you're marvelous, God. And to praise your holy name, no matter what. If the thief breaketh in and steal two things, we still have the home, yay, and we praise you, God. We honor you. We love you. We cherish you. And we thank you for an opportunity to hear how to be better and do better in a world that's turned on you. Stretch forth your hand, God. Bless us after you receive us in the only way we know how to come, humble and loving and trusting in you and your word. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Haven't heard of no other name by which man can be saved. We've heard how they can be killed and destroyed, murdered. But in the one name and the only name given unto us men here on earth by which we may be saved, Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, many of us have made up our mind and the decision to change our ways. And we've made that decision willingly because at one point in time we've lied on God. By our example, by our actions here in the world, and by our walk, by the things we've said and how we lived our life. But now, we see it hasn't got us anything. We're in worse shape today than we've ever been. So right now, some of us are saying, God, I'm sorry. Yes, I know I've lied on you. Yes, I know I've walked the way of Satan. And I've gotten nothing and nowhere. God, I'm sorry. From my heart through my lips, I'm sorry. No one has had to twist my arm behind my back for me to say, God, I'm sorry. Ooh, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done horrible things. I've said horrible things. And I've said things against you that were not true. I'm sorry. And I'm saying I'm sorry because I already know. You, God, have said they are all no good. No, not one. We know you said they've all turned away from you and righteousness. And now look at them. Hell and wickedness, unrighteousness, pursues and chases and run them all down. What an indictment. What judgment. Well, it's time for you and I to stop our evil and deceitful attitudes and beg God, beg the Creator to make us whole. We're not going to be good, do good, act good, pray for good unless we're made whole. But we know it's really time right now, today, this instant, to take self examination. The Bible says to examine ourselves. That's right now, it's time. And ask the Creator of the universe to renew in us a right spirit and to create in us a clean heart. Jesus said, out of the heart come all wickedness, all wicked reasoning. So if we're not clean, if we're not clean in our heart, then no, we're going to keep on lying on God until he destroys us, bring destruction, and then kill us off by deadly disease. We know anything dirty and unclean, it's a hindrance to our health and well-being. It's a deadly way to disease, sickness, and death. But the Bible says that the dead cannot praise him. So wake up, open your eyes, stand up on your feet, pick up your cot and walk. Because we know the first way to a clean and worshipful heart is to give our life to God, whatever is left of it. And right now we're going to talk about how to do that. You know, never before in the history of the world have we heard so much about heart disease. This one dying from a stroke. This one dying from an embolism to the heart. This one dying of a heart attack. This one dying of all kinds of heart disease. Oh, my goodness. Never before. City after city, state, country after country, nation after nation are reporting high heart disease rates. People are sick at heart. There have been an expectation in the heart. Nothing has happened. No, nothing. They've been sick. Yes, they have. And why? Whenever you read about the esoteric and the physiology modalities of the heart, out of the heart springs everything bad, according to Jesus. But if we go to God and ask him, create in us a clean heart, he's going to show us the way. And once you get a clean heart, you've got to have a right spirit about you. And that right spirit is what is going to keep us on the road to becoming a good example on earth for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ and God. Okay, you want to take out Jesus? Okay, that's up to you. But he's already said, no one, no man, no woman, no child, no animal, no one comes to him, comes to the Father God except through him. So what can we do? We've got to get to know Jesus. We've got to really get to know why he came, why he died, and why he went back to heaven to sit on the right throne of God. We've got to know something. Because as long as we don't understand the proprieties of God and why he sent his son, we're a walking liar. Our actions are going to be opposite of what God would have. And we're not going to please God unless we come to God in the way that he approved. You know how that way is? In spirit and in truth. We've got to recognize that he is a spirit, and you're not going to be able to hold his hand except through spirit. And that in truth, God is truth. So any that approach him must approach him, begging him to show us the way to lead a truthful life. Anyone can get up and go to the bathroom, eat something, lay back down. Anyone can do that. The animal is doing that right now. But God is expecting us, because we're made in his image, to be an example to him. And if our actions are showing that we're living a certain way, we're talking a certain way, we're acting a certain way, we're walking a certain way, then we know God is not pleased. And if we don't go bow down and tell this Creator God of the universe that we're sorry, our lives are going to be one sorrowful mess. Lack, discord, jealousy, destructive ways, destruction of all kinds. Every way we turn from the left to the right, to the east or the south, we're going to see a manifestation of doom and damnation in our lives. One that says you can laugh today, but you'll be on your deathbed crying tomorrow. One that says you can live your life any kind of way, but then tomorrow you perish. Who wants to live like that? Well, why should we be interested in God in the first place? How do I know I've lied on it? This is how you know you've lied on God. When you choose not to look into the Word of God and let the Word of God lead your life. You know when you're not letting God lead your life. You're making all these bad decisions. You're making all of these bad rules and regulations for your life and the lives of others. You've told God by your actions, I don't need you, I don't want you, get up out of my face and look at you. Yes, you might be rich and wealthy today, but in the coffin, you're worth nothing. Yes, you might be able to fly all over the world and spend money running like water, but in the end, nothing goes in your casket. So it's the end that we are concerned with right now. Because if we've lied on God by our actions, our end is not going to be good. Yes, we're walking up right now. Yes, oh, my attorney has my trust. Let me tell you something. God of the universe has your trust. He's already laid your trust out. He's already told you how to walk before him. He's already told you what to do. That is the trust that you should be interested in. Because once you close your eyes in death, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know anything about the outcome of your trust. You will not know. The Bible says, in the grave, none praises him where you are going. So let's get this thing right. You're walking as a king today, upright on earth, able to eat and go anywhere and do whatever you want. But in the end, you can have a boatload of money there in your operating room. That's not going to save you. The doctor staring at it will not be able to save you. Once God puts his edict on you and say, this is it, that is it. So we need to back this train up and tell God, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know what I'm doing right now. I don't even believe you. I don't believe in you. But I'm coming to you, and the only way I know how to say that I'm sorry, if you're there, listen. If you're there, hear me. If you're there, pick me up. If you're there, put me on the road of righteousness so that I can serve you better. I'm tired of lying. Hasn't got me nothing. Hasn't got anyone else I know walking about on 2 feet lying. Anything. Hasn't got them anything. But now here's your chance. Here's your chance to talk to them. Here's your chance to tell them, I met a man. I was on my way to a Damascus hell, but I met a man. I was on my way to suicide, but I heard about a man. I was on my way to give it all up, throw it all up, and lay down and die. But I met a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. I heard about all the other ones, done nothing for me. Their people are more chaotic than I am and more deadly. But I met a man. I wasn't trying to meet him, because I was pretending to be satisfied with my life and the way that I was living my life. But I stopped for a moment to listen to a broadcast, and I met a man. I met a man I never thought I'd meet. I met a man like I've never met before. I met a man who said his promises are sure. I met a man who says I can never die again. Once crucified, now living on the right-hand side of the throne of God. I met a man that says if I follow into his footsteps, I'm going to be one that can deliver men from death. Because I know that if he be lifted up, all things will come into place. He's already said all knees are going to bow in that day. So I said, what am I waiting on? I met a man who promised me peace beyond all understanding. If I keep my mind stayed on him, I've kept it stayed on my money. I've kept it stayed on my home. I've kept it stayed on the car that I drive. I kept it stayed on all the false friends that say, oh, yes, I'm with you. I met a man who promised me eternal life. He says, eternal life. He told me there's another home not built by human hand. A mansion, many, many rooms. I met a man who told me that I can have life without end if I put him and his father first. I met a man who, like no other man, whose promises are sure, and he says, listen to me. Listen to me. I have all power in my hand. All power now is in my hand. I met a man who said, come unto me, and I will make you whole. Come unto me. Who would not want to come unto a man like that? He says, come unto me. He didn't say go and kill 50,000 people. He didn't say lay around to hurt, kill, and destroy. He didn't say bow down to Satan 55,000 times a day. He said, come unto me. He says, I have everything that you need. And my Father's already promised that the day is coming where there will be no more death, no more pain, no more tears, and no more outcry. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. He said, my Father said, and he cannot lie. Titus 1, first chapter, second verse says, God, who cannot lie. If he wanted to lie, he could not. The Bible says that God cannot lie, even if he wanted to. His promises are sure. You can put everything you have, including your life and the life of your family, on the promises of God because he said, his son said, I came to do the will of the Father. So if you get in behind Jesus Christ, you are doing the will of the Father. He's already said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. Might as well take a chance. Have taken a chance on everything, good, wicked, bad, evil. It's time now to tell God that we're sorry. And then to thank him that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, down through 42 generations. To come down and reside with mean men, men that spit on him, beat him, stabbed him in his side, cursed him, mocked him, laughed at him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and then led him down those streets, those red clay, dusty streets, sickened and tired, whipped and beaten all night, to Golgotha, to lay on that torture stake, naked, and die. Take away our sin nature that was birthed into us through the first human pair. But oh my goodness, hallelujah, when they took him down from that torture stake, some say cross, and put him in that tomb, we found out that he rose just like he said he would. He said, if I be lifted up, he got out of there. His Father summoned for him and called his name. He rose 3 days later. And he said, I got all power in my hand. I think I'm going to follow the one that says I have all power. He wasn't talking about nuclear power. He wasn't talking about the power behind the shotguns. He wasn't talking about all of man's contrivances of power. He was talking about Holy Ghost power, world-saving power, world-saving power. That's the power he was talking about. He says, I got all power now is in my hand. I think that's the one that I would tell, I'm sorry. I might have walked with the wrong people. I may have sat in the seat of the ridiculous. I might have sat in the seat of those that said you're dead. But I'm coming to you now to tell you that I'm sorry. Not because I have 2 days to live. Let's forget that. Because I've already read where one day, Father God, with you is as 1,000 human mortal years. Here I come, Father. Here I am to tell you that I'm sorry. I've been such a poor example. But I'm telling you right now, God, I need you to take me in. I need you to show me the way. I've heard so many lies from various institutions. I just don't know what to do. But I know with you, following behind your son, Christ Jesus, you can make it all right. Yes, I know the evil one. He wants my soul. But I'm telling you now, in trust, that I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm sorry that I did not come to you sooner. But I trusted in arms. I trusted in material things. I trusted in my job and my position. I trusted in my friends surrounding me, knowing that you've already said, when everything good is gone, so are they. But I come to you now, begging you, Father, to forgive me. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. I've wasted so much time, but in the time that I have left, I'm putting me, all of me, into your hand. Come what may, God. I don't know what's going to happen to my life. The Bible says that you know all things. So I'm coming to you right now, number one, to say I'm sorry. And to say this prayer of redemption. Oh, holy God. Oh, holy God. Oh, holy God, thank you, God, for allowing me an opportunity to hear how to make it back to you. I came from you through spirit. Now take me back. I've tried everything in the world to live a life that was dictated and stated that I should live. But now you, God, take me back, teach me, guide me, lead me. Take me back, God, as a child, and I'll look only unto thee, oh, Father God. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to hear how to make it back. Now it's my turn to live as a good example, but I can't do it without you and your guidance. I've tried, but I failed. I know you say no one is good. I'm not trying to be good. I'm trying to return to you to become your son and daughter again. I'm not interested in that. That I'm not good, I'm not good. Not my fault. My name is not Eve and my name is not Adam. But we thank you that Jesus said the things that I'm fond of are with the sons of men. He came willingly to lay his life down, knowing what kind of man and woman was waiting on him, including me. Put your armor on me and put your sword in my right hand, and I'll go forth through the land, declaring that you live, he lives, and that all those who do not turn to you sooner than soon and quicker than quick, they're going to forever perish. They're going to perish. They're perishing now and don't know it. You know, people walking around with cancer, eating them up, don't know it. That's the same thing. Thank you, God, for hearing me. Thank you, God, for hearing me and for saying yes. In Jesus' name, keep me alive. Please keep me alive. I won't be able to praise you if you don't. I won't be able to use my life as a living example. Whatever's left of my life, God, let it be used for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me tell you something else. There's a big movement now going across America. It's going across the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific. The movement is called the International Platform for Peace. This is a platform that has called out to men and women who desire to be real peacemakers. They're already peace lovers, but they're peacemakers and peace builders. And the way they are accomplishing this is going throughout the land proclaiming ways for peace in the home. First in the heart, but in the home, in the community, and in the city in which they live. Each home will have a peace sign in the window that says, I stand for peace. We need you to support this. We have just installed the International Platform for Peace Minister, former Chief of Police of Capitol Heights, Maryland, Colonel William Harrison. I can vouch for the man because I can say that I know him. And the whole world will know him and others that will be coming in behind and in front of him to proclaim peace. We need you. We need you in your city to get on board of the Platform for Peace. We need you in your state. We need you in your home to display peace. Because if it doesn't start there, ineffective on the outside of the door. But for more information and to learn how you can become a peace builder through the Platform for Peace, please visit www.ipfpeace.org. Let me say that again. That's www.ipfpeace.org. And then the word peace.org. Take a look at the site and see how you can become a volunteer in your state. See how you can be one that can stand up for peace, because God has already said, blessed are the peacemakers. So if I don't have any peace in my life, hey, oops, there it is. I need to learn how to be a peacemaker and a peace builder, and now I have an opportunity. He said, blessed are they. So that means that on the opposite polarity, cursed are those that don't stand for peace. Cursed are those that are not peacemakers. Just flip the script. We need you to come on board as a cabinet minister, cabinet member, a volunteer. We need those with social media skills to help get the word out. Click, click, you're doing it every day. For more information, visit the website, and you can always email myself at mothernature7, that's one word, mothernature7@gmail.com, and I can send you the latest information. We have got to go forward with this revolution for peace. We already know the outcome of the cry for peace, but we want to be used by God at this time in history to proclaim and to command those that are on this earth to stand for peace while it is still day. Again, that's the International Platform for Peace. Without peace, we can do nothing. And without God blessing our efforts to stand for peace, we will be nothing. Thank you so much for tuning in again. And remember, if you have lied on God by your actions, and of course in your heart, all you've got to do is tell him from your couch, your bed, your hospital gurney, just tell him I'm sorry. You don't have to go into a big spiel. You don't have to say long prayer. Just say, God in heaven, I'm sorry. Show me the way. Show me the way. And he'll show you the way now and forever. See you next Saturday, same place, same time, on the Dr. Cupertino Show. Bye-bye. God bless you.